Father God, we give this time again to you, and we're here at this conference because we want to do what we do as well as we can for you. And Lord, I pray for all of us as we talk about worship and leading your people in worship. And we ask you, Lord, to be present with us. And this time would be so well used that the worship in our churches would be affected by it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you read the description of this class? Did you? They sent the an email back to me and said, we need a description for this class, a few well-chosen songs. And so let me read to you again what I wrote, those of you that may not have looked at it. Most of our churches, we only have so much time allotted for congregational praise. How much do you have? How much time do you have in your fellowship? How many have less than 20? Anybody less than 20? How much time? 15? How many have more than 20? 25, five songs, so it's down to a number of songs. So you can play those songs as long as you want. Anybody else? Anybody have 30 minutes? And we're talking Sunday morning, 30 minutes? Oh, and on Communion Sundays, how long does the service go? Same amount of time?
Same amount of time.
Oh, cool. And that's on Sunday morning. What church is it? Oh, wow. That's Caldwell, right? You know Steve and Donna Savage? Have you met them? They're from our church in Huntington Beach. Neat couple. And what about you?
30 minutes.
Okay. So we only have so much time, right? Time is too short. I meant to say, they might have even edited this, because I meant to say life is too short to sing good songs when there are so many great songs. We'll talk about how to choose the best songs and assemble a set of those songs for a particular gathering. Quite often, less is more. Write that down. If it's not in your, it's in your notebook here, but write it down so you remember it. Less is often way more than more. And it's better to take that 20 minutes and sing three songs well than to rush through four or five. I'm not saying you can't do four songs in 20 minutes, but you're going to be rushing to do five in 20 minutes, and people might feel like you're being rushed. But it's better to sing three well than rush through four songs like a sprinter. Maybe we need to learn, maybe we need to learn to linger in God's presence again. So, what do I mean by good song? Somebody define a great song. Okay, but I mean in terms of the qualities of the song, it is a great song. Okay, so it's... would you say that it's truth? Or you mean just straight scripture? Just right out of the word? Or yeah, scripturally accurate. Why is that so important? I spend, as a pastor, I pastor Refuge in Huntington Beach. It's Calvary Chapel of Huntington Beach. I spend anywhere between, I'll be honest with you here, between 3 hours to maybe 10 hours putting together a message for a Sunday morning. How long do you spend preparing for worship?
3 hours
to get everything done that you're doing? Okay. Well, what's the quickest you've ever put it together?
Are you including the rehearsal time or just the
let's include the rehearsal too. What's the quickest you've ever put it together?
5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. But you know what? This is here's it's absolutely true. The people will remember what you sang a whole lot longer than they'll remember what I preached. Almost without exception. Because they haven't just listened, they've engaged and sung. And maybe they've read it too. So there's, you know, three areas where they're connected with it. And so if you're singing scripturally inaccurate little, hope this doesn't sound disrespectful, but little gospel ditties that really don't have solid truth in them. I'm not saying you got to give them the Westminster Catechism on Sunday morning, but if they're not singing accurate truth, then they're gonna walk along and drive along humming things that aren't true. So absolutely, number one, it's got to be accurate. It's got to be true, whether it's directly scripture or not. It's got to be scriptural. It's got to be solid. What else makes a great song? Okay, that's in here.
Oh, that's in there.
That's content. So let's say that the content has to be right on. Solid, doctrine, biblical. Okay.
Everyone's
I think I know what you mean there. Okay. Good. Let me rewrite that. Let's say some simplicity. Okay? Simple what? Yeah. There you go. That's what I was like. You're talking about the band? So, okay. You know what? There's times when you can have a song that's complex for the band to play, but but melodically, the melody line is simple. And here's another very, very important thing. It's memorable. How do you know it's memorable? They're singing it. They're humming it. They're whistling it. And they can't get enough of it. So it's memorable. It's simple. We've already got that. Let me write it down. It's singable. We are trying right now desperately, and I don't think it's going to work. We're trying to teach the congregation a really great song. It's a great song to listen to. I'm not sure if it's a great song congregationally. It's a Chris Tomlin song called Glorious. And I love that song. What's wrong with it? Have any of you tried to sing it with the congregation? Well, I don't know about that. Some songs are. I'm not sure that's one. It does have more than the normal amount of lyric in it. If you arrange it to, yes, the range and the thing, if you sing the chorus in a range that's comfortable, then when you drop into the verses, the bottom falls out of it. If you raise the verses up, then the top. So what we're experimenting with, it's almost the kind of a song where you let the ladies just shine on the chorus and the guys come in strong on the verse. But I like songs that we can all sing all the way through together. Another song that's like that, and this goes back a generation, it was by Graham Kendrick, Shine Jesus Shine. Either part of that song is great, but wow, it's like the Star Spangled Banner. There's not too many people that can sing that from beginning to end. It just goes all over the place. So singable is important. That becomes an issue of what?
Range.
Range, key. You got to pick the right key. And we're getting a little off track here, but in choosing great, great songs, they've got to be accurate, biblically accurate. They should be somewhat simple, memorable. They got to be singable. Now, how do you find those kind of songs? There's millions of them out there. Some of you have probably written some. How many of you are songwriters? Okay. If I promise you I'm not going to make you sing a song, how many of you are songwriters? Okay, good. Same amount? Good. Some people are just, oh, what's he going to do now? But some of you are probably have written some great songs. A great song that teaches truth. Truth is embodied in it. It's a singable song. It moves really well. It's got, and you can sing a great song too slow and it just dies. You can sing a great song too fast and people can't get the words out of their mouth fast enough. So there's an issue of tempo and all that. But yeah, we should.
And also, what about the length or the brevity of the song?
I'm not too concerned about that. Personally, that's just me. Right. Your pastor might be. I know some pastors, Pastor Chuck, on days when they're not using the hymnal, he doesn't want songs that have a whole lot of words in them. He wants simple songs, and he's probably got a reason behind that. By the way, here's something I really love and have appreciated about Pastor Chuck, this issue of truth. If there's a song that contradicts what he believes to be true from Scripture, he'll either ask that the song be changed or not sung. Can anybody think of any songs he's done that to? Maybe. To see you high and lifted up. Because the Scripture that talks about the Son of Man will be lifted up is talking about him being crucified. And so there was this one song years ago that he just did not want sung at Calvary. And it went like this. It was a really happy song, kind of a bouncy song. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth. And it just, it had that happen. And I know what the songwriter was saying. But he kind of missed the point of that scripture. So Chuck asked him, we're not going to sing that. Another one. I don't know about that one. Maybe there's another taboo one there. It was the one about, no, it's a more recent one that says, I'll never know how much it cost.
Oh, yeah, we changed it.
Yeah.
Lord, help me know
how much it cost. Yeah, yeah. And there was another one. And when the heavens pass away, and until the heavens pass away, your scars will still remain, and forever they will say how much you love me. And I can't. The nails in your hands. And there was a line in there that Chuck asked them to change one word, and until the heavens pass away. Because he believes that those scars will eventually, you know, once we've seen the Lamb and all this. But see, the point was, Chuck really cared about what we sang. And I think we should too, because you're teaching truth there. So let me erase this, and we'll talk about how to find those songs and how to sing a few well-chosen songs. Do any of you struggle with getting yourself down to that final song list, because you think, oh, I want to sing that one. I want to sing. Maybe I can do a medley and it'll really count for one song, but it's really three, and I can get everything in there that I want to do. Okay, finding them. Where do you find them? Where do you find great songs? There's old ones. There's new ones, and there's yours. And by yours, I mean, you know, from your congregation. They may not be you specifically, but old ones you'll find all over the place. You'll find them in hymnals. There's some great old hymns. Don't bury all the hymns. Don't sing all of them either. But don't bury them all. I shared this in the last session too. I've got I think it's a woman. I'm not sure. It's an anonymous note I get in the offering box every week without fail, until the last 2 weeks. I got it for 4 months. It said, more hymns, please. At least it said please, but they were huge words, more hymns, please. And we were singing hymns just about every week, and I almost made a comment about it, and I'm glad I didn't yet. But don't abandon the old songs. Now, there's a lot of people that are updating the old songs. Give me a great old hymn that you still sing. Old Rugged Cross, for the longest time, that was my least favorite song. And I don't know why. We sang it about 6 or 8 months ago, and it just came alive for me. And I began to like it again. So many people of my parents' generation love that song, and it's a powerful song. Were you there? Okay, some others? Blessed Assurance, How Great Thou Art. Yeah. Oh, by the way, How Great Thou Art goes really, really well with How Great Is Our God, Sing With Me. And just drop into the chorus part of it. It's powerful. And then you've made everybody happy in the whole church. And that doesn't always happen. What other songs? Amazing Grace. Have you guys discovered this song? It's on a Chris, I don't know how you say his last name. No, Robbie. Robbie Say or C-S-E-A-Y. You can iTunes his name, S-E-A-Y, Robbie Say, R-O-B-B-I-E. And it's, goodness, I didn't, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. I Will Arise, there's the tune, the name of it, I Will Arise and Go to Jesus. Whew. Wow, what an awesome old song. It's about 150 years old. But you will love it, and I guarantee you the people will love it too. It's got one of those old Celtic kind of sounds to it. Powerful song. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Isn't that just powerful? Oh, does he? Good. Others? No. Oh, cool. Oh, great. Oh, can you write that down and get?
iGroupsMusic.com.
Okay, great. Remind me before we're done, okay? So. Yeah, and you know what? Get an old hymnal and go through it. And how many of you can play piano or can pick out a melody line? Find someone that can and look for some great songs. Maybe not for your devotions. Use the word for that. But to supplement that, read through an old hymnal and find some of those words that were just wrenched out of the painful times of people's lives. And renew those old songs. You can sing an old song in a new way, and it's powerful. Anyway, I'm going to get sidetracked if I'm not careful. So old songs and maybe the generation before, look, but just look for the classics. if you're talking about old songs. And I would caution you, don't just sing old songs, because the Bible commands us to what? Sing. It doesn't say sing all new songs. Don't wear out a congregation with too much. But where do you find new songs? What's your favorite sources for new songs? Radio, Passion, other churches, yeah, places like this, the youth. How many of you check out the new Hillsong stuff when it comes out? I find one or two on most of those albums that are good. What's the other one? Worship Together, great resource for new songs. Okay, but remember, just because it's on a new album doesn't mean it's a great song. Put it through the test. Is it memorable? Is it singable? Is it truthful? Okay. And then yours. I would encourage you to encourage the songwriters in your church. How many of you are in churches where you have like a worship community, where the musicians and the vocalists get together somehow or sometime? You know, in that venue, talk about, ask people, what are you writing? Are you writing anything new? And encourage one another to take the gift. And maybe you got somebody that's a poet, but they're just not a musician. Maybe you got someone who's just amazing at, you know, melodies, but they're not a poet. And you've got a Lennon and McCartney, you know, in your congregation, that if they just work together, you might have a resource in your own body for some amazing new stuff together. But new song is a mandate. And I think in our congregation, I find there's songs that are very seasonal for us, that are songs we need to be singing at a certain time. Jonathan's in our fellowship here in Huntington Beach. And you remember when Tom Lane was among us. And Tom's a prolific songwriter, but his songs, he writes so much out of his own journey. So they're not just, oh, I got to crank out another song today. And I'll never forget the day I was in my office, and he was using a little room right next door to my office. And I could hear him singing something in there that was new to me, but I couldn't make out the words. And so I'm thinking, I hope he's going to, maybe he'll teach that tonight, because he was getting ready for Wednesday night service. And he did, and it was a song called Put a New Song in My Heart. I taught that here, I think, a year or two ago. And that song really became for us, for a season, kind of just a landmark song. Put a new song in my heart and turn the sorrow into joy and the mourning into dancing. But here's what made that song so powerful. Tom was walking through probably the most excruciating time of his life. So when I heard him singing about turn the sorrow into joy, and the mourning into dancing at your throne, man, the context that content came out of just made that song so much more meaningful. So there's nobody that knows your congregation like your congregation. And so pray for, ask God to raise up the psalmist in your fellowship. And then listen, and don't be afraid, especially in the worship community, to tweak a song. This is where you've got to put aside your what? Your pride and your ego, and just allow one another to, you know what, that's a, I like, this word needs to change here. You said that too many times already, and let's work on the melody a little bit. Maybe it needs to go a little bit slower, a little bit faster. Maybe you need to yodel this song. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm looking for a great yodeling praise album, but I haven't found it yet. Okay, so that brings up this issue. Once you find them, this is finding. Oops. Once you find the song, you got to test the song. Where are you going to do that? Well, almost always we just take it right to the congregation. I'm beginning to wonder if there's a better way to do that, because life is too short to sing good songs when there's so many great songs to sing. But this is what I've been toying with over the last week or so. I want to put together within our worship community, and maybe even outside of it, what I would call like a focus group. New songs that I'm thinking, I like that song. But, you know, it's pretty subjective for me to say, I like that song. And so maybe to put a few ones that I'm taking out of an old source or a new source or my own songs, put them on a CD and make 10 copies and ask people, just listen to this and tell me what you think. Can you sing along to this? So it would be important to maybe give that to somebody outside of the inner circle of the worship team. This might sound like it's sort of a bit of maybe too technical of an approach, but it's not that hard to do. I mean, how many of you have iTunes and you can easily put together a playlist, record it, and I know maybe there's the issue of the copyright, but you're not going to sell it to anybody. So I'm thinking it might be a really good idea to put together a focus group that would approach this on a really unbiased and an honest way and a kind way, especially when it comes to my songs. I want them to say if it's not good. I want them to be nice when they say that, or if it was too hard to sing, and just ask them to critique it. What songs really hit you if you've got the time to do something like that? But selecting the songs, I think songs are like, and I know I talked about this either last year or the year before in one of the workshops I did. Songs are like greeting cards. How many of you in your congregation, you only sing original songs? No, we sing Chris Tomlin songs, Matt Redman songs, Darlene Check, or however you say her last name, songs, and we got our favorite songwriters and Tim Hughes, and so what we've done is we've gone to the Christian Hallmark store, and we've looked through all those songs that are on the rack, and we say, and women are so intense on this, you know, they'll spend an hour looking for a card that, honestly, he's probably not even going to read. But you know, you take forever to look at the song, at the card that says it. Oh, babe, this says exactly what my heart is saying to you. You didn't write it, but you labored over picking it out because you looked for what? Not just a good card, but a great card. And so Sunday morning, we come together and we assemble these three or four or five greeting cards. And we're going to sing about the Lord, and we're going to sing to the Lord. And we're going to say, Lord, we picked this out because this really says to you what we want to say to you. This just says it, Lord. No, and we couldn't say something about your majesty this morning better than this. We want to say this to you together, God. And so you're going to lift that up to the Lord, and you're going to hopefully sing with all of your heart that song that is memorable and doctrinally right, and it's singable, and that makes the people go away thinking, oh, yeah, God is great. God is awesome. So you're gonna find it, and you're gonna somehow test it. Test. Be honest now. When you're rehearsing, even if you're not gonna make the CD and pass it out to a focus group or a test group within your church, at least let the worship team in your body be that focus group, and ask them, "What do you guys think about this song?" You might find that it's not as easy to sing as you thought. I remember a guy, about 25 years ago, he wrote a book called "If They Ask You, You Can Write a Song." Joel Hirshhorn and Al Kasha. Al Kasha became a Christian, pastors a church up in somewhere up in L.A., but he wrote the song. You'll remember the song, at least most of you will. There's Got to Be a Morning After. Remember that song from Poseidon Adventure, the original one? And We May Never Love This Way Again. And I remember him saying in songwriting, he said, give it the whistle test. If you can't whistle it easily, people won't be able to sing it easily. So give it a whistle test if you want it to be a song that people are going to remember. So once you find the song and you've tested the song and you select the song, what are you going to do next? We're going to sing that song. What's the next step for you before you sing it to the congregation? Arranging it. You got to personalize it. Now you can just say we're going to do it like Hillsong did it. We're doing it just like Hillsong. I've seen churches try that, and it was disastrous. You know why? Yeah, they're not Hillsong. They don't have the how big is that choir? It's enormous. It's bigger than most churches in the world. Just their choir, really, literally. The average size of the church around the world is somewhere around 50. In America, it's up to about 80. But even at that, their choir is bigger than most churches. And the whole, you know, brass section and all those guitar players and all the technical stuff. I was in Australia last July. And we happened to get there right after the Hillsong Worship Conference. And I was speaking at a couple of different churches, and I went to a church that had just sent their worship team away to Hillsong to learn Hillsong. And when they came back, you know, they were loaded for that Sunday night worship service. And they were going to do Hillsong the way Hillsong does Hillsong. And so the girl that was leading, she had the long coat on like Darlene wears. And she was trying to do the stage jive the way Darlene does the stage. And it just was so, what's the word? Is it disingenuine? Is that the right word? It wasn't them. Jot this down. In personalizing these songs, use what you have. Don't fake it. Use what you have. Use the musicians you have and use them well. Make it your own. If you don't have the horn section, then arrange the song so it doesn't need, you know, so there's not this great big gap where the horns would have been. But just, and a lot of this is just common sense. Get the truth of the song and the power of the song and work it into to your team. And then at some point you might decide, you know, this really doesn't work without a horn section. It really doesn't work without a massive choir. And maybe we're not there yet. Maybe you need to recruit a choir if you want to do that. But to personalize it, resist, you know, the cookie cut approach to we're going to do it like Chris Tomlin does. What do you find out? What do you find about most Chris Tomlin songs? Got to drop them at least a step and a half for a congregation to sing it. Oh, by the way, here's a. And this is just through years of experience. You don't have to listen to my years of experience. You don't have to be wise at this point. You can just snub me and just do whatever you want to do. But no, I'm just kidding. What do you find? And if you haven't investigated this, you really should look into it. What do you find to be the highest note, not key, but the highest note that you should expect a congregation to sing? Have you thought about that?
A D.
A D. Very good, a D. You know what most piano players sing in? Or what most, not all, but what an awful lot of hymns are written in? The ones that we sing in D,
E flat.
Look through the hymnal, and it's I don't know how many flats that is. Is that four flats, three flats? But it's and you can do that. Do you know why we don't sing in E flat? Because guitar players don't want to play in E flat. That's a mess. You can capo up and play in D if you want to, but. You've got to find the right key. So rehearse it. Drop down the Chris Tomlin songs, and there's some songs you want to bring them up out of the basement. There's a girl who, if guys try to sing her songs, you're just dwelling with those below, and you got to bring it up a little bit. But anyway, that's what I do. Rehearse. I was just at a church in Hawaii, and here's how they handle their rehearsals. They got a great big music department. And they just have too many people to coordinate a typical weekly practice. So the person who does all the admin for their worship, and by the way, if you're going to do a better and better job, it's going to just require more and more time and maybe a team that you need to develop around you that helps you with some of this. But what they do is they'll take the songs that they're choosing and the arrangements they want to do it in, and they'll put it on a CD, and they'll send them out to everybody who's on for that week. Probably in this church's case, I wouldn't doubt that they probably get that about 2 weeks ahead of time. So they're really planning way out ahead. But that expedites the rehearsal. So when they come for their sound check for their Friday, their Saturday evening service, which starts at 5, the sound check starts at 2:30. And they pray for 10 minutes, and then after 10 minutes, the vocalist sound check, then the band sound checks, and then they run through items and just segues between songs because they want to do the very, very best they can. Here, write this down on this. Excellence with simplicity. I think that's what you want to strive for. We talked about this in the previous workshop, that the word that comes up there in 1 Chronicles 25, down around verse 6 or 7, it talks about those who played skillfully. And you want to be as good as you can be. You want to play as skillfully as you can. You want the sound to be as pleasant as it can possibly be for the people. It'll help them to engage. It's not... You probably heard this a few times, and you'll hear it a number more before you get out of here this week. But it's not about us. We're the last in line. It's about the Lord, and it's about his people. It's about serving those people. The person that leads in front is there as a servant for that congregation to help them connect with God in worship, or what we've come to call worship, what the Bible calls praise, but that's another workshop. Okay. So personalize it, make it yours, and just work that. Don't overdo it. And I think especially on the hymns, you'll find, how many of you have a lot of elderly people in your congregation that remember the hymns? How many of you don't? Any churches that are predominantly young, pretty young? Then you can do whatever you want with the hymns. But if you've got a congregation where there's a lot of elderly people who still weep when they hear some of those songs, still are alive to them, don't butcher Amazing Grace for them. Save that for the youth ministry later on. Youth ministry needs to sing Amazing Grace a new way, probably. There's a song I was thinking of recently. How many of you remember this song? He has shown thee, oh man. Great old song. That song needs to be rewritten for our generation because that truth needs to be sung again. And certain songs, certain verses need to be reworked generation after generation after generation. Old song in a new way. So don't go overboard. Again, it's an issue of knowing the congregation that you're ministering to. But don't butcher the hymns for the senior generation. You can tweak them a bit. You can put a bit of a beat to it. You can let them know, we love this song so much. We're going to play it with our instruments. We're going to make it still recognizable, but we're going to sing it together with you because we love that song that whoever wrote. Okay, then assembling the set. This is big to me. This is where it gets down to the few well-chosen songs. You find the song, you test the song, you personalize it, you make it yours, and then you assemble the set. Less is not just more, less is best. Less is best. If I really have 15 minutes, I'm going to have to discipline myself to sing no more than three songs because I don't want to rush through them. I'll start with a long list. And I will. The way that I put my chord charts together, if I'm leading, is I just have them all saved, just like you do, I'm sure. Chord charts on my computer, and I pull them into a new document one by one. And how many of you have ever done this? You pulled in a song and forgot to rename it for the song set that you're going to do. So when you went to save it, it saved 12 songs underneath that one song. Careful. I'll assemble it. First song I bring it in, I give it the name, the date that I'm going to be doing that set. And I may assemble 20 songs on there. Depends. And then one by one, I'll eliminate them and I'll arrange them. And I usually start with a faster song. Not always. But sometimes we'll start something a cappella. And it might be just an anthem. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sometimes, not all the time. It might be just a little bit of a verse. And then we'll kick into something that has a bit more of a faster beat to it. But I'll labor over that probably more than anything, the choice of the songs. So taking the great ones that I've pulled off of my computer, and I don't know why, but I still haven't thrown away the good songs. I really should sort of strip them out of my list or put them, maybe not throw them away, but put them in an archive and hold them for later. Yep. With me, you mean? With myself? Yeah, I will. Yeah, and most people will, too. Most of our other worship leaders will. I don't lead worship that much in our fellowship anymore. But most of them will ask me, what are you teaching on, and is there anything you want us to sing? And so we're working more and more on that. But I'll choose the songs one by one. Let's put together a great set, okay? What time do we have now? Oh, wait a minute. I've got that. Oh, we're getting close. Okay, give me three good, what you would call opener songs. And there'll be songs that everybody knows here, yeah. My Life. Okay, somebody else, give me another. Yep. Okay, another one? Another good opener song. Send Your Rain. Yeah. Any others? Got room for one more. An opener type song. I don't know that song. Oh, yeah. Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed Be Your Name in the land that is plentiful. Blessed Be Your Name. I think that's okay. Okay. All right. And now give me another kind of like a second song or something you'd move into from there. Still something that's got a little bit of a tempo to it, some beat. What was that, Jonathan? Say it again. I Want to Know You. How's that one? I don't remember how that one. Oh. Okay. In the Secret. Yeah. Yeah. Secret in the quiet place. Another one? Beautiful one. Beautiful one, I love you. What's that one? I've never heard that one. Does everybody know that one? Anybody not know that one? Okay. Give me another one. I want to learn that. Who? What's that? I don't know if I know that one. That doesn't sound familiar either. Do you guys know Indescribable? Okay. Okay, now give me some slower ones that you love. What's that? Is it Jesus Draw Me Close? Oh, yeah. I Will Offer Up My Life. Is that the title of it? Holiness? Holiness. Hey, did you like that girl that led?
Yeah.
Is she good? That was my daughter. The one with the little green hat, yeah. Yeah. Isn't she cute? Yeah, she is cute. And the boy that was playing guitar behind her, that was my son. Yeah. Isn't he cute? give me another slower kind of. Here I am to worship. Do you guys know Jesus, All for Jesus? Isn't that great? Love that song. Okay. We got 15 minutes. We got 7 minutes to talk about this. We got 15 minutes. And I'm going to be talking this week about giving everything to Jesus. About give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And give to God the things that are God's. So we got, let's say we got 20 minutes. I'll give you 20. What do you want to start with? How's that one start again? Okay. Okay. You give and take away. That's blessed be your name. I'm gonna, and kind of the focus of the message is going to be, sort of the subtitle is, it's a little mini-series I'm starting called Q&A with the Master, or Q&A with Jesus. And the first part of it is, what do we owe God? What do we owe God? So, I will give all my... Where was that one? Okay. Let's go, yeah. See, there you go. You got a fleck. Okay, yeah. I will give... Okay. What else? Oh, you know what? We got to do this one. I will. This one is in the key of D. Or C? Oh. Okay. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. What key is that in? Anybody know? Jesus. It's similar. You could do it in D. Okay. And... all right. So we're going to have to, I think we're going to have to say goodbye to Here I Am to Worship, unless after the message we have time for that and just the chorus of it down here. And maybe just at the end, and I might, although I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that last song that Jess did, the Jess Cates, is that his name? I recorded that on my camera while he was singing. But that just says exactly the very, very last one. Yeah, everything. Great song. So up here, I probably would, what would you do? Where would you, is there anything that you'd start to erase off the list and say, we'll just see you later? We won't see you this week, but we'll see you later. We need two songs, no more than two songs, if we're going to do I Will Offer Up and Jesus All for Jesus. In fact, I think I might switch the order, though, and end with this. I think I might. I don't know. Okay, then we would erase. I'm a little hesitant to erase Beautiful One because I love that song so much. Yeah. My life is in you, Lord. Your love is amazing. Da, 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 da. What's the chorus to Your Love is Amazing do? Great song, but we'll see you next month. Hard decision at this point because some of those have got to go. I will give you all my worship. And I will give... I'd start. That'd be number one right there. And then I would probably go up to... My life... That's a pretty old song. This one? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you have ever attended Harvest? You ever go to Harvest? Man, they sing the same songs an awful lot there. They seem to have a really deep, deep reservoir of songs, but they do an awful lot of repeat there too, I noticed. Okay, so we've got to make a decision here because it's almost time to go out and lead worship. Actually, no. There's days like that, aren't there? There are definitely days like that. Yeah, and that's going to go down below. So you got to be brutal at some point. Lord, what do you want us to do? And at that point, you pray. Beautiful. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, what key is Beautiful One in? I think it's in. It's in. You know how I remember the key of G.
Of course, it's in G.
Here's how I find the. Here's how I find the key of G. Majesty, worship His Majesty, Jesus. That's a little bit low for G. Somehow I gauged that years ago, and that's how I find G. Da 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 da. Da King of all kings. No, that's not in G. That's not in G. Beautiful one. No, that's, maybe for the ladies group it's in G, but not for the guys. I think it's in C. It's either C. What's that? This? Really? Wow. So here we go. Beauty. Wait a minute. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified. King of all kings. Beautiful one I love. See, that's too low. Beautiful one I adore. Yeah, give me a C. Give me a C. Da 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 da. Beautiful one I love. Beautiful. Okay, here we go. Now this, I need to give you this to you really quick. This is huge on a few well-chosen songs, on how to use them. I didn't get into it enough. It's the point on working those songs, using those songs like tools. I don't just want to get through them. I want to use them well. If I've got 20 minutes, and I don't just want, okay, we're going to sing the chorus, and we're going to sing the verse, and we'll sing verse, chorus, verse, back to the chorus, get through it, and go to the next one. I may want to linger on a song, and so I'll even train the worship team just to be flexible. I may not have to say that, but they know me well enough. We may come back to this and repeat it. At some point, I may jump back and repeat the verse of this, like you saw my daughter do today. I think she learned that by listening to Dad. But let's say if we start here, and we go, wait a minute, whoops, we're starting in D, and we're going to C. You can do it, but what do you got to do? Which way? Down. It's hard. It's harder to transition down. Everyone loves it when you modulate up. But when you modulate down, it's like when the jet's coming in and you whoa, what was that? And you can feel, but you got to work the transition. You can do it. Yeah, and so what do you got to do? You really got to, it's the P word. You got to practice that. You got to practice it with the vocalist. You got to practice it with everybody. So it's thought through. Or you're going to say, can we maybe sing that in D? Can we lift it up to D? I might even say, we're just going to sing the beautiful one, I love you, just the chorus part of it. And especially if we've worked that song for a long time. And then depending on how your worship set is put together, you may have your pastor may say, do one song, then I'm going to come up, and then do a set of three songs afterwards. Then your problem is solved with the D to the C, because he's come up for that. And you can, even if he likes to have you play music behind him, I know some guys don't, but if he does, then you can transition into that, and everybody's set, capos are changed, and everything. You move from the C, easy to go up from that C to a D, a tempo change as you slow down. But you can manage that tempo change by with a prayer, or this is one of the most awkward points in a worship service too, when you have to say to somebody, you can go ahead and be seated, go ahead and sit down. You got to find a way to say that, because in America we don't always stand up when we worship. Man, I know some cultures, they're on their feet for every note, because they think it's an issue of respect to God. And I can stand for 20 minutes. That's okay. I can stand for 20 minutes if the preacher's going to stand for 45.
So, for 2 and 3 hours.
Yeah, they do. They do. So then I can move really easily. What do we do here? From Beautiful One, if it's in the key of C, I can modulate it up and I will offer up my life. Da 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 da. Jesus, all for Jesus. And then I can't remember what the bridge or the chorus part does here, but you might even be able to tie back to this, or even back to the very, very first song you did. Just play around with it. See if it works. Don't let it be contrived, but if it works and it makes sense. And then there are many times where I'll look at that 20 minutes and look, my time has gone here. I'll look at that 20 minutes and I'll say, you know what, I'm just going to have to do it. I'm just going to not sing that because I want to. I think this is the big thing we need to say this morning to God, and we're going to spend some time on that song. And we may sing it and let the band play for a little while, and I may say something. Just I'm not going to preach in the middle of it, but I may stop and say, wow, do we really mean that? Do we really mean all of my ambition, hopes, and plans? I'm going to surrender them. Can we sing that again to God with a real focus in our heart? That God, I'm going to give you the thing I'm most ambitious about. And fight the temptation to preach a three-pointer in a little segment like that. And find out if your pastor is okay with it too. But use that song and let it be a tool that really accomplishes something in a heart. Any questions? I'm sorry to keep you so long, but yep. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, amen, right. Yeah, start at the beginning and say, Lord, please. This is all for you. Help us choose the right songs. You know what? And even praying, God, you know who's going to be here. You know what they need. You know the one soul that is just going to, man, that's going to accomplish the thing they've been crying out to you for 10 years. That happens.
Sing for an audience of one.
Sing for an audience of one for him, yeah. Yeah, I talked about that a little bit in the first workshop, and what I'll say about that is that you can tell the difference between somebody that just is an incredible musician that knows ripping leads and that everybody stops and it's, whoa, that guy is good, and the person that prophesies on their instrument like David did. The person that's prophesying on their instrument, man, there's no distraction whatsoever, but the guy that, look at what I can do, and it's... And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but yeah, I think there's definitely a time for that. I don't use that a whole lot, but I'm not at all opposed to it if it's sensitive and something God's using. Yep. Yeah, you can. If I can get it later, right before I leave. And any other questions on the?
He was saying prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have that perfect peace.
And one other huge thing to pray for. One other huge, huge thing to pray for. Now, God's going to be there. You can't get away from God. He says, I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. But there's something different when I say, Lord, we invite you. Just be present with us, Lord, please. We're going to recognize your presence, but Lord, please be present. Bring the people and bring the finances, but Lord, please be among us because it won't mean a thing if you're not here. And you know what I mean when I say that, don't you? Because I hope that doesn't mess with your theology, that God's omnipresent, he's everywhere. But there's a difference when there's a congregation that's inviting and welcoming his presence and one that just kind of comes together and leaves. Was there another hand up real quick? Nope. Okay. Father, I thank you for these worshipers, and may we really be worshipers in every way in our life, Lord, not just musically, but when the songs are over and the PA is off, Lord, may we worship with our life in the way that we live. Bless these folks, Lord, as they serve you in their congregations and with every step they take. In Jesus' name, amen.